It's Thursday. Do you know where your IT guys are? We don't. It's Patch and Switch. And now, two guys whose significant others are extremely happy, and the neighborhood's a lot safer due to the fireworks ban. It's Patch and Switch.
That is somehow so true, I think. as my hand throbs for another story we won't bother telling right now from previous burn injuries and everything else.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, happy belated Canada Day.
I know, good stuff there, eh? Thanks a lot for the ban for coming out on the extra day. You know, we'll pay you double. Yeah. We'll pay you double your salary for the ban.
That's $2 or something.
$2.97.
Okay.
I think it is.
Okay.
Yes, it is post Canada Day and happy pre Independence Day.
Yes. Which is why we're having the show today.
Right, so that we can equally fit, coexist, or equidistant between the two different celebrations that are going on.
Yes, absolutely. And the fact that tomorrow is actually a U.S. holiday.
Yeah, and no one's around.
No one's around.
And, you know, and even in Canada, the July the 4th, people still kind of take it off anyway, sort of. You know, it's going to sneak that one in there. They slide it in. No one will notice.
Because Canada Day, it's a holiday in the middle of the week this week, and they want the weekend. They want the long weekend.
They got the long weekend.
We are aware, for those of you listening on board and can't get in the chat room, that the link to the chat room is not currently on the page. We're working to fix that. We've got...
I actually just tweeted it right now, the exact link to the chat room.
And I tweeted it out earlier as well.
So it's tlk.io/patchandswitch.
Yes, absolutely. So looking forward to seeing you there. I'm starting to see people trickle in now as they read... the tweets and the Facebook posts. I should probably go and update another Facebook post.
See, that's getting complicated. So here we are.
Yeah, right.
What, it's like 3 minutes before the show, and then someone tells us, oh, by the way, the Channel 9 webpage is acting up and doing something strange. And then you leave it to me, Mr. Infrastructure Guy, to try to figure out the whole iframe open square brackets with the slash and something with a silent Q.
The curly tilde.
Yeah. You know, I threw a couple of accent aigus and accent graves in there just for the bilingual audience in there.
I don't know what you're saying.
And I think it was because I added the umlaut. The umlaut did something.
Oh, the umlaut?
Yeah.
And you forgot to pronounce it Huawei.
Huawei. Huawei's in there too. We don't know what's up. And you know what? It's Thursday. My coffee still is yet to get cold in my cup, so it's not time to get it fully fixed, but it's good enough.
All right. Fair enough. We do have some people in the chat room, though, so we should shout out to them because they've worked around the issue.
I saw K.O. Beckman, because he's in the chat room. He actually said, yes, thankful for the browser history to be able to view source and get the actual chat links in there. So thank you, K.O. Beckman.
Yeah, that's a good one. So as you mentioned, K.O. Beckman, Sean Lowe is in the room as well. Phil Erb has joined us. John has joined us, as has Scothius.
Scott Gothiels.
There you go. All right. Scott Gothiels. All right. He's joined us. As I slaughter the names. But that's just part of the fun. Yeah, absolutely. Of course, Jay Shock's here, as always.
Hi, Jay Shock.
Working the video.
He's earning his pay as the audio engineer.
Yes.
Every fractional cent of that pay.
Which we haven't actually increased and upgraded since he's become a video engineer.
FY16.
You know, I think we're going to have to change it from $1.380 to $1.380 in rubles.
Oh.
Or something.
Rubles?
Rubles or...
Well, we were paying him in Canadian.
Well, you know, Canadian Tire money, perhaps. That could work. Canadian Tire money is always
nickels.
Good. Every Canadian has a drawer in their house that has Canadian Tire money in it. And I think there's actually a provision in the estate law that allows you to bequeath your Canadian Tire money in your will to somebody.
Can you explain Canadian Tire money for those of us who don't know what it is?
No idea what it's
It is the about. Most treasured, sacred icon of Canadianism next to the Tim Hortons donut, maple syrup, and mousse.
Donuts.
And hockey, of course. Canadian Tire is a well-established, long, family-run business up in Canada that does, kind of the equivalent of what you'd be doing for, like, a Home Hardware, a True Value Hardware, a Lowe's Hardware, but, like...
Okay.
Anyway, it's a national chain of, you know, you need something fixed, you go there and get it. You need your brakes done, you can go there and they have a car service area. You can go there and you can buy your Wankel rotary engine mount, bolt, screw, or something like that.
Okay.
And, you know, they, as you paid cash for something, they would give you a percentage back of that cash in really cool-looking printed money that they actually have security features on the money that's actually bills. But they pay you like a 25-cent bill, a 10-cent bill, and then everyone would be using them for ages for actual cash. Like, you can actually buy stuff. I've seen stuff listed on Kijiji, which is the Canadian version of Craigslist, that allows you to actually buy stuff with Canadian Tire money if you want.
It says here, Sean Lowe says you can use Canadian Tire money at the liquor store too.
Mm. I haven't seen that. I didn't know that they actually passed that law. But we'll see.
So it's actual currency that it's, apparently it's, works it's beyond just currency. Canadian Tire.
People have started to adopt it as a form of alternate Canadian currency outside of the Canadian Tire realm.
Oh, so it's like Bitcoin.
It's the Canadian version of Bitcoin.
It's not online.
It's not online.
It's not secure.
It's not secure. Well, it is secure because it's paper money. You got to come through my hockey stick, buddy, if you want to get that off of me. But, you know, it would be great as a kid growing up and, like, going through the junk drawer to find all the Canadian Tire 5-cent bills to be able to get enough to go off and buy a hockey stick.
Oh, they sell hockey sticks. Oh, of course.
Yeah, whatever, right?
You know? They sell hockey sticks at the 7-Eleven, don't they?
They've got whole sections for sports, and they got camping, they got cars. They've got, I think they had, no, they don't have groceries yet. They might have some, you know, basic stuff. But
That's interesting.
Anyway, that's the Canadian segment. We've just now reached our official Canadian CRTC Canadian quota that we have to have to be on the air in Canada. 20% of the show has to have Canadian content in it.
Well, at least one time a year.
At least once a year.
Yeah.
So there we go.
So we're safe.
There we go.
Bitten has joined us. Claudia has joined us. So hello, Claudia. Welcome. She's down in the Houston-ish area.
You're saying Bitten's in with us?
Bitten's in. Desired by Life is in.
Now, I got to do a shout out to Bitten.
Okay.
He has been, or she, I think it's a he. It could be he or she, I don't know. Is extremely patient. They have sent us their address back when we asked for it Christmas time. He's been asking about, hey, am I ever going to get a sticker?
He says he still doesn't have any Channel 9 swag.
So, you know what? It'll be my mission today to figure out international shipping. Through the tool that we have to use internally at the secret bunker to be able to try to get something out. Because I really do owe Bitten. We owe Bitten and others that gave us their personal information.
I know.
We just really got to get around
it. We need an intern.
We do need an intern that can actually do this for us.
Like a British one?
No, the British one's actually moved on. He's progressed. He actually got a full-time job. But we could always delegate this out to the audio engineer have him do it too, right? See, he's just sitting here doing nothing except tweaking knobs once in a while. Not even the audio engineer anymore. You've taken that on.
I do that, yeah.
I'm the video guy. You're the
video. Oh, you've upgraded.
Okay. No. Don't video tell him that. We'd have to pay him more. Energized Tech has joined us as well.
Nice.
So welcome.
Nice.
I do understand there is a round of congratulations to a bunch of people that we know is that the most recent round of Microsoft Most Valuable Professionals has been announced.
July 1st and what is it? July 1st and January 1st we announced those? Is it 6-month intervals?
Yeah.
Every quarter.
Every quarter? Is it quarterly updates?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
They're chosen every quarter.
Wow.
So
they're appointed.
Appointed.
So congratulations
and they work
to
their butts off
those that together. We know who have been appointed.
Yes.
And
renewed.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you for your hard work. We appreciate it.
I've never been an MVP. Have you ever been an MVP?
I was actually awarded the MVP effective the day that I signed
the contract,
my offer letter with Microsoft.
Which
so
instantly invalidated.
I guess technically, no. Yeah. I was never an MVP.
Wow. That's good. What about you, Shock?
I've never been an MVP.
No. It's a very exclusive group. They work tirelessly for the stuff that they do. And talk about passionate people. They're awesome. Absolutely awesome folks.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
So thank you for all that you do. That sounds like a guy that just sent us an email last night. Thank you for all that you do. That's an inside joke.
Let's see. Energized Tech says January, April, July, and October.
There we go. That is quarterly.
So quarterly.
Yeah, that works.
Though I don't know if I'm awarded it. Does that mean technically I got it?
Did you get the piece of glass?
No.
That's the, okay, then you get it. Yeah. Okay. You got to get the piece of glass and then those hockey pucks.
Yeah.
That are the year markers. That's the mark.
Okay.
That's the mark.
See, instead you get the crystal daggers.
Yes, I do have the crystal dagger.
The I use them for weightlifting. They get heavier every year.
I was making light of Mark Cashman from the SharePoint group. He just got his tenure.
Mm-hmm.
So it's bigger, it's taller.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's a more lethal weapon because, you know, you got more ranged attack with
okay,
it.
Okay, that works. It's a ranged weapon now.
I just want to stand up, hold it over my head, and go, by the power of Grayskull!
Nice. Did you notice that Sean Lowe has $3.95 in Canadian Tire money in his wallet as we speak? Like, you carry this stuff around.
You really do?
I still have some here in Washington.
Can you use Canadian Tire money at
they've turned me down at the
Timmy's?
Wow. Not directly. Again, if you normally can find someone outside,
Can you buy a gift card?
There are people on street corners who will do exchanges with you for real cash to Canadian Tire. It's like a black market for being.
Are you serious?
Totally. If you ever want to dump that to real cash, you can.
Wow.
It's more valuable than Tim's gift cards, I would say.
Well, no, don't be getting crazy.
So how does that compare in comparison to like a Starbucks gift card?
I don't know. I've lost the luster for Starbucks. Rates. You know, get proper exchange rates out there. Money laundry with Canadian Tire money. Thank you very much, there, Energized Tech. I hadn't even thought of that. Bringing out the darker side of things. And trust me, if there was some way that Canadian Tire money was electronified, I guess you would say, that would be an interesting black market industry to get into. It's like Bitcoin. So I was reading someplace that someone just got caught by modifying Android images to include Bitcoin mining software for phones.
Oh, really?
And they were distributing.
Jeez,
they're just always finding a way to do it, man.
Yeah, always finding a way to mine that Bitcoin.
Should we start the show?
We should, actually, because you know we're 12 minutes in and we've talked about Canada,
and this is actually flowing a lot better than the last show was. I have to apologize for the last show.
We were a little disoriented.
Oh, it was the whole HTTP versus HTTPS thing completely threw us out the window.
It's amazing that one letter would just really mess us up.
And then you know some connection issues were going on. Someone didn't pay the internet bill for the OC3 that we have in this room. It's just crazy. So. And now we're up and working. It's all good. And we seem to be going relatively smooth. So we probably should start the show.
Apparently everybody's reading J-Shock's screen.
Is he? Stop doing your email. Stop doing your email.
I found a very funny image on
okay.
Twitter.
Yeah, found that was on Twitter. I thought, very cognizant. I don't know if you guys had seen it this morning, but I was going to try and pull it up and then share it with everybody else.
It's a picture of
a Volkswagen Bug.
Volkswagen
it's red.
Bug.
But look at the plate.
Feature.
The license plate is feature. Yeah, nice. I get it. Okay. It's not a bug, it's a feature. All right. So the first, Frederick's joined us.
Nice.
Bork, bork.
So we have five segments normally.
Bork, bork, bork.
And the very first segment typically is called From the Trenches. We do not have a sound effect for it.
No.
We're still searching for one. If anyone would like to suggest one, feel free. Maybe server rooms whirring. You know, there's a server room down by my office with the noise of the fans.
I'm wondering if I can get a sound effect of a hard drive clicking.
Hard drive clicking could possibly work.
Or you could also get like a backup buzzer of a truck backing up.
I don't know. We'll think of something. But I might do an audio capture. You know the room I'm talking about.
Yes, I do.
The testing room that's there.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, the ever-present white noise of cooling fans might work. Where we talk about things that we've done over the last couple of weeks, last fortnight, minus a day, with regards to our regular day job, which actually is doing stuff in IT.
Yes.
And do you have? I have a couple, but I would be the gentleman and offer it to you first, sir.
No, I've been in meetings.
Oh, that's very important from an IT perspective.
Well, yes, yes, it is actually.
Well, okay, well, I'll share one of mine.
Share one of yours.
One of mine that I just did recently was obviously I've been working on the Azures. For the last little while, and I've been getting frustrated because I've been spending a lot of time planning and a lot of time in meetings and not enough time actually playing with technology.
Oh, you mean like what I do?
Right. So I got given a notice by a particular service that I use on the Azure saying that you need to change your payment information for your technology blog. because they're now switching to direct billing as opposed to through another third-party service. And if you don't change up by a certain date and time, then they're going to suspend your service until you update your billing information. It's all perfectly legit and regular stuff. But it's kind of put a fire under my butt to say, I can do this differently. Let me try this out. And so I ran into a good friend of mine, Syntax C4, Corey Fowler. Corey Fowler, who's now working on, I do believe, I want to say the app services team over in the Azure side of things now. And he was mentioning to me as we're standing in the cafeteria waiting for a smoothie to be finished. He said, hey, dude, like, why don't you use a particular ARM template to go ahead and deploy a highly available MySQL implementation?
Highly available.
And so, you know, I'm trying to, because when you're designing stuff for the cloud, you obviously have to design for fault zones and fault domains.
Yes.
So that you are able to also go in and design for update domains as well. So if you have a cluster, you have to have at least three update domains because you have to have two nodes to cluster up and happy, really, to make sure that things are going to be working for you. And so someone has gone ahead and made a very nice ARM template. In case you don't know what ARM is, ARM stands for Azure Resource Manager. It's the new way of being able to go off and to provision infrastructure as a service on Azure in what we call the V2, if you will, version of Azure for IaaS and for PaaS and stuff like that. And someone's gone ahead and published this quick start template to be able to make a three-node MySQL cluster with Percona. I would say Percona as a Canadian. I don't know if that's correct. That basically will go through and make a master with two read-only versions of the database, and then it does load balancing between the boxes to know which one is the current available one for any reads, but then can obviously know which one is the master one for the writes because it's what clustering software does. And then set it up all for me correctly with like lickety split barbitrick, maybe 15 minutes of funking around with, I said funking, just so you know, with the ARM template, the JSON template, to be able to make it so that it works. And I now have a three-node MySQL cluster all set up to go for my WordPress backend. And now the next trick for today is going through and doing an ARM template for my multi-node load balance WordPress template for Azure. That then uses this new clustered backend, and then boom, I now have a highly available property design cloud-based service on Azure that will survive any issues I have with updates and also any issues with faults in case some data center happens to blow up somewhere.
So with those, with Reliant Kitten joined us and she says, yeah, sure, that's what she said. with the new ARM templates, now this is something that I'm very well aware of and everything else and was like, okay, I'm looking... I actually did spend some time, and this is more beer money, and we'll talk about that later, but getting something all set up with ARM. Are there the templates? Where did those templates come from?
So the ARM templates that are out there was originally seeded and created by friends of ours on the Azure IaaS team, and also then opened up to other members at Microsoft to be able to go ahead and to make prior to their release in the public. They're on a Git repository, but now other people are making them too. So literally anyone is able to go off and to make an ARM template, which is a JSON file. It's a declarative file used to identify your networking layers, your storage layers,
it's
your infrastructure.
.txt.
It's even more complex than that. But well, not really complex, but it's just
okay.
More...
unattend.xml.
It's the new way that you provision infrastructure that's out there. And so this is on a GitHub repository from the Azure team, which is known as the Azure Quick Start Templates. And you can get to it from the Azure.com website to be able to see them. And they classify them as like 100-level complexity, 200-level complexity, 300-level complexity. This is a 200 or 300-level one. I forget which one it is for a MySQL HA. And then it basically makes it so that you have like a form to fill out for what's your storage account name going to be, what's your resource group name going to be, what do you want to call your VNet, and what do you want to have for user ID and password. And then it takes those variables and plugs it into the template to be able to create everything for you with the new API. So
very cool. If you want full documentation, check the chat room at tlk.io/patch-and-switch. Oh, wow. It looks like Energize Tech has provided the technical background behind it. In the language, some MSDN articles there.
And I will even go in here, and here is the MySQL one I used.
Excellent. Kyle Beckman says, random thought, How has no one walked by the recording studio and just pressed their face on the glass yet? I do actually have to say that this area where we are located, the secure bunker, is very, very secure.
Yeah, it does require
highly restricted access.
Yeah, only certain people do have access into this level of containment. Are we like a level 3 containment field right now, or level 4?
I don't know.
Like, even our audio engineer has to patiently wait for us outside until we arrive.
Which is which is interesting on days that we get here early and we're just sitting here drinking coffee going, where's J-Shock?
Yeah, I know, eh? although one of the ones that we did recently, we did have our VP come by and he did kind of at least wave at us as he's walking, because this is the, right here is like the main hallway to get.
Correct.
Once you're past this, like, you've got the secure door, you've got one empty room, and then you've got us, and this is the elevator shaft secure room that we are in. So
going back to the ARM templates, is there just kind of a basic just deploy a VM? I just need one VM template.
If you go to the either the GitHub repository or one of the links that Energize Tech has there, that's the basic starting point of templates.
Okay.
They have the information that's there and posted about, you know, here's the 101 how to make a VM. Here's the 101 about making a VM and a network.
Okay.
Here's the 101 about
doing some
stuff.
You actually have to have a network, I understand, in the V2?
Well, networks are the way that the machines talk to each other.
I've got a single machine.
If you're a single machine, you know, I actually haven't even tried to make one without a network before, because I always just assume I have to have a network.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just curious because, you know,
A friend of mine, I want to say Ula is his name. He's a technical evangelist out of Sweden.
Sweden,
I do believe. Published a... He just published a 4-module course on Microsoft Virtual Academy around ARM templates.
Oh, I may have to go have a look at that course.
He asked me to review it yesterday, actually. But it is live.
It is live.
I think. Well, at least the Channel 9 portion of it is live.
Okay.
I think it's also in.
That's
in
all right. I've got access. I can find it.
You can reverse engineer and find it. Can you? You know what? I'll see if I can find it.
Reliant Kitten says, I love the breaker boxes. I assume they're breaker boxes. Those
they're real.
Yes, they are real.
There's a big caution mark that says stay 3 feet away. And that's why
why I'm sitting over
that's
here.
That's why Joey's on this side.
Yes.
She's not allowed to be in front of them. Otherwise, the fire department of King County will come by.
And I know we have talked about this before, but this is an old server room. And there's, you know, big racks of fiber optic cable running above us and big 30-amp power circuits.
They approved our storage. Our infrastructure upgrade request. We're actually going to get additional cameras.
Oh,
so we can actually have
so I'll have a job to do.
You'll actually be able to switch besides more than your machine and the camera. And we're thinking about putting them at just around eye level height or just above eye level height in the corners here, so you can actually see us better as opposed to the top of my hat. Although, you know, Rick Tilly enjoys the fact that you're basically looking at him most of the time.
Yeah.
It's an option. So
Bitten saw
it'll
Ula
be coming
today.
Soon. It'll be coming soon.
Ula said, Bitten said that he just saw Ula today.
Oh, he did.
Yeah. And Frederick has posted the link to the Microsoft Virtual Academy course in the chat room.
Did he already?
He did. Yes,
darn it.
Absolutely.
Too darn fast. Well, that's why we do crowdsourcing on this show, right?
Yeah, and so I'm actually going to open up this
and then save it for later.
Save it for later so I can go and review that because any other From the Trenches work that you've been doing?
That's the first main one I've been doing. I've also been helping out our other British intern, who's no longer really a British intern anymore. He's actually now a full-fledged member of the team on the TED team that I work on, Matt McSpirit.
Yes.
We haven't had him on the show yet. We should have him over here sometime.
Yeah.
It's always nice to hear the dulcet tones of the UK accent.
Yes.
although he did correct me. Apparently, I incorrectly stated that it was potentially going to be the UK versus the USA on the women's final FIFA.
Yeah, no, England lost to an own goal.
I know, but it's apparently England, not
that
the
is
UK. Because he says, no, this is England that was going to be in.
That is correct.
I did not know that.
Well, because Northern Ireland has a team, does Scotland, and other realms of the United Kingdom.
I've been helping him.
But you're like...
I've been helping. What?
Go on. Continue.
I'm part of the Commonwealth.
Which is why I don't know why you don't.
It's because it's over there. It's on the other side of the pond. They're just this big blob, just like, you know, how Canada is America's hat,
yes,
or America is Canada's pants. one of the other based on which perspective in the
trousers.
Where was I going with this? Yes, I've been helping him out, although he's been more doing the actual work, which is great. We have a lab just down around the corner from this room where we have a good chunk of lab infrastructure. And he's actually been going whole hog at doing upgrades on that stuff that was previously designed by one of our good friends, Simon Perriman.
Yes.
Like firmware updates and hard drive updates and new hardware and reconfiguration to basically make a fully functional, beautiful Azure stack ready because he doesn't have access to the bits yet.
Right.
So currently it's going to be Windows... WAP. What's WAP?
Windows Azure Pack.
Thank you. Windows Azure Pack. I call it WAP. So a full WAP implementation in the meantime, and mixed amounts of both 2016 and 2012 that's in there. That gives us full functionality that I use as demonstration for my hybrid connectivity for Azure type sort of stuff. So he's been working hard on that, man. It's been crazy. Absolutely crazy. And the last little bit of work, I remember that big, huge Dell box that I built for virtualization for testing?
Yes, is it still under your desk?
It's still under my desk. So it's got prime real estate location for high availability in case Rick kicks it over by mistake.
Yes.
$6,000 server machine. It's actually a great footrest.
Is it?
It is. And I met with the software developer that is created the automated testing suite that runs on it to do app testing and OS testing. Of virtual machines that's on it. That's the whole purpose of what that box is. I met with a guy and that team yesterday. That's one of the reasons why I missed the planning meeting. Did you go to the planning meeting?
I did, absolutely.
Okay, I need to talk to you about what happened.
Yes, you do.
Because I missed that whole one. But I was there helping them out to understand the logic of what this particular dev was doing for testing, and I gave him some ideas on how to improve his workflow on bringing down images, building VMs, building differential disks to be able to seed them with apps to be able to do testing on in automated fashion and stuff. And he's like, wow, I never thought about doing that. Oh, that's awesome. Let's try this out. And put in my feature request to basically say, give us some configuration options for where we put the main OS disk and where it can put the differential disks, because I don't like it. It's inside this random place, which is simply local roaming, low app data stuff. It's not very performant. Need to move it out. And he's like, wow, I never thought of that. It's like, yeah, imagine putting the main gold image on a SSD platter as opposed to C drive.
C:\temp.
Yeah. Yeah, really.
Tim Barrett has joined us and he asked, so today is a day early due to July 4th. Yes, that is correct. The U.S. July 4th holiday, because it is falling on a Saturday, they give us the Friday off. If the holiday was to fall on a Sunday, we would have the Monday off. Just to
carry
kind of
the
give
two
an explanation. Yes,
one.
Exactly. And then we also want to make sure that we celebrate Canada Day properly. A day late. All right. So
that's been my work. Busy.
I haven't been doing any from the trenches that
no
I
real
really
work.
Can
you've
share.
Been doing no, so it's just you've been doing
no
real
there
technology
is a,
work.
There's a ton of work going on. I just can't share what's going on as is planning. Our next segment. Which is kind of one of my favorite segments that we talk about. It's hang on.
There we do have a sound for that one.
Yep. So this is beer money. The beer money segment. Beer money is basically all about the support that you do for your friends, your family's friends, your cousins, aunts, uncles.
Sorry, I just realized I have a story for this.
You all right there, buddy?
My brain is working at a very odd frequency today. Go ahead.
All right. So anyway,
your favorite segment. Why?
It's well, you know what? Because
everyone does it.
We yes. And we just do some cool stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I love sharing the stories and I like hearing the stories from folks in the chat room about their beer money stories.
Right.
But I actually have one really quick. As you're aware, I do my alter ego DJ guy, does a weekly show on Saturdays. We access a server that's over in the actually it's over in Europe,
mm-hmm.
and it was on a what they call a VSP, right, which is a virtual server provider, and essentially I think this was a VMware box that they were running everything on. It's all Windows based, bless you. Next time, flag me and I'll mute the microphone. All right.
I think we need to clean that mic now.
Yeah, exactly. In the table, in the TriCaster. Monitor. Yeah. At any rate, there was this VSP. We started having random network disconnects, And they're like, oh, no, everything's fine. But the stream would drop off. And, and then so I connect in via RDP and I'm looking at the thing. And then all of a sudden the RDP drops off, which tells me they've got networking issues. Oh, right. Yeah. And they're like, you know, their SLA is like 18 hours. Right. So you send in a request. And we're like, hey, we have these problems and everything. They're like, can you please send us a ping and a trace route?
Nice.
And at this point, we're like, okay, it's been like a day and a half, and you're just now wanting a ping and a trace route. We're done. So we've been running we did a lot of the testing of the service because prior to this, it was running in open source. It was running in some Linux. But we like the sound plugins and stuff that are available on the Windows side. So we actually moved over to Azure for a while to test it. And then they decided to go to this VSP. It was closer to him. He just felt a little more comfortable with it.
Sure.
Well, we've now moved it back to Azure land.
You get what you pay for.
Well, yes. There's a reason that that's only like $8 a month. And I can tell you exactly what they've probably done is that they've stacked up a bunch of other people on that same server.
Oh, yeah.
And because it's just a virtual machine, well, the host is having issues. You know, because when I look at the virtual machine, it doesn't see dropped packets. So of course, it's not going to see dropped packets. I've got to get to the host level. Of course, you're not going to ever gain access to a host at a VSP. Tim Barrett just posted in the chat, the first three rows are a splash zone. Yes. That's pretty good. I like that. At any rate, so we moved it over to Azure. And for the first time, I've actually done a install of WordPress directly onto Azure. Now, we were going to look at moving the website just to Azure websites, but given the fact that we already have to have a server up to do the sound processing, it doesn't make sense. So we'll just throw it on there. So I used WebPI to go ahead and get everything configured. Finally discovered where it actually puts the php.ini file, which we need to configure because we need to add a bigger upload size because we are uploading big MP3s. The site is now based in WordPress, so they wanted to deploy through that. So getting it all set up, and I'll tell you what, it was super, super quick. The guy who runs the station, the last time we set up the servers, he set it up with his VSP. He said it took him 2.5 days to get everything set up and configured. I had it all set up within a few hours.
Boom.
Nice. Yeah, boom, done. All set, all running. Server has a name. Server's name is Bob, but he spells it backwards. I don't know why, but we don't. You know, we like.
So when
Bob.
The server's inebriated, he can spell it forwards and still understand what his name is.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. So yeah, that's what I've been doing with Beer Money. With my Beer Money support is helping get a website with all of the audio and all the auto DJ that works when we're not streaming live.
Yeah.
And all of that stuff migrated over, and then moving to a WordPress site. So it's been pretty cool.
Nice.
No, Energize Tech is not
Microsoft Bob.
No, it's Bob, and it's spelled backwards, lowercase b, lowercase o, uppercase b.
Oh, nice.
Totally different.
Nice. Very, very nice.
And that's why I was asking about the ARM templates thing, because I just set this up via the portal.
Yeah.
And knowing that there's going to come a time that I need to move it, I just was looking to get ahead.
So the best thing about this is I'm obviously able to go off and take that ARM template that I use for MySQL, and I'm going to merge in my WordPress template that I've got already to make it so that when I need to, I can just redeploy. Oh, need to move it out of this subscription to this one? Redeploy. Oh, I need to go off and change it? Redeploy. That's treating your servers as cattle, not pets.
Yes.
That mentality.
Yeah.
This is the first time I'm actually trying to embrace that to this extent. So it's good.
So the next stage that I need to do is I actually need to either take a backup of this server or just capture the VHD. And I'm not sure kind of what.
Well, it.
Basically, what we want is in case something really bad happens, right? Because it doesn't make sense for us to do.
Well, the best thing is if you're just looking for doing a backup of it, and if you're just doing like a single box, I wouldn't bother about redeploying with an ARM template. It's already configured. I just would turn on Azure Backup.
Yeah,
I mean, Azure Backup on the VM level captures both the file system and also captures the configuration of the VM itself inside of Azure.
So all of the software that's installed and everything else.
So you get that, but then you also get all the configuration options for what you have inside the portal configured for that VM, for the endpoints, and for other things that are not part of the machine but are part of the Azure configuration of that machine. That's all covered, and if you have any ability to roll it back if you need to, you simply choose the point in time to roll back to it.
Okay.
I know a good friend, Aiden up in Ireland, Joe Elway on Twitter's.
Aiden Finn,
He just went ahead and had a problem with his WordPress install that he did, and he simply went back to the Azure backup and then done. and had it all fixed from some configuration change he made over the weekend or something like that, and brought it back. So definitely
excellent.
Works.
Bitten in the chat room says he put up an Icecast server at work with a coworker, and he's thinking of getting a school radio. They'll beta test broadcasting something in December, so that's fantastic. We actually use Icecast, and that was also one of the very cool things is once you set up Icecast, there is an XML file that has all the configuration information. You copy that XML file over, drop it into a default install of Icecast, and it picks it right up. So that's, it's like boom.
Nice,
so you
man.
Really only have to set it up once. So it's pretty cool.
Very, very nice. Do you remember my... You don't remember because I just remembered before we started talking about this, but my beer money story was we had a close friend move recently.
Yes, we did.
Unfortunately,
they just arrived. They moved a week ago.
Driving for 7 days to go from the West Pacific Ocean to inland Ohio. Long drive with a gas guzzling or diesel guzzling truck. Towing their fuel-efficient Prius,
yes,
that was also filled with stuff because they ran out of space in the truck as they were moving. There's a hilarious picture of him. Actually, he strapped the lawnmower in front of...
I love that. I love that. When I drove by that day, I was dying.
It's very redneck. It's absolutely awesome. Anyway, they left with my laptop.
I'm sorry?
They stole my laptop.
Which laptop?
I gave them Kelly's old laptop use because their old T61 or whatever it was they were using, their old really old ThinkPad, died. And I'm like, here, just use this. It's just, we use it for the kids, whatever it is. And I cleaned it up and gave it to them in one of the previous beer episodes, I'm sure I talked about. They took it. I can't even believe it. They took it. Now I got to email them and say, hey, dude, my technology. I guess, you know what? I need to hold his beer pot ransom. In exchange for the laptop.
Oh, he didn't take it?
No, the beer pot is in Beer Team 6 brewery still.
Oh,
so maybe I'll
fit that in the truck.
I don't know. I would have seatbelted it to the passenger seat myself.
Well, he had to have room for the dog.
Yeah, that's true. Anyway, so yeah, that was my very funny, not so funny, but that was my beer talk thing.
Okay.
Very simple. Very short segment, I guess, for me on that one. I took over the first one.
You took over the first one. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right, next segment. Oh, yes. Random spending.
I loves me the crowdfunding.
Crowdfunding?
So you know that from previous episodes, I have bought a Kegworks growler.
Yes.
128-ounce gas pressurized, beautiful stainless steel copper growler that's able to hold a gallon, whatever 128 ounces of beer is in metric, I forget. Of beer that's going to be arriving. It's been delayed because of factory issues in China and that sort of stuff where they're being made. That's going to be delayed till October, unfortunately. However, our good friend the Nasdaq, Nasdaq, who put me onto this one here. It's an Indiegogo one, and it is called Instamic. 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 Oh. Someone's phone's going off. Please mute your phones for the broadcast. quality production.
Absolutely.
That's what we have.
We are the most professional podcast in all the podcasts.
You got it. Instamic. Instamic. And I tweeted out the link earlier. But it is a very cool little device. I want to say it's probably about the size of maybe, I don't know. If I hold that up, you can see it. It's not even that big. But basically, it's about the size of a, what would you say the size that is?
Maybe couple 3 inches?
I want to say maybe, maybe 6 centimeters by 8 centimeters. I don't know. It's a small device, battery powered, rechargeable, that is a microphone. But you know my recording gear that I use when I go off and do interviews.
Yes.
I carry the big Roland R26 digital recorder that has 2 XLR inputs and screens and stuff like that, wireless microphones. That huge, massive kit like takes up more space than that soundboard there. But it's portable. This Instamic is that size, self-contained, and you basically put it on your shirt, like a magnet to be able to hold it on instead of a pin. Or put it on your car, put it in your engine, put it beneath your exhaust pipe, or whatever it happens to be, and then press the button to hit record. and it records 12 hours of audio.
Wow.
That is high fidelity, good quality audio from an engineering perspective that you then take, like I do, and attach that up to your machine. Take the video that you shoot with your GoPro or your Nokia
your phone
1020,
or whatever
it is, like I do, my high-def video. And then you line the two of them up in the video editing software, and you now have an external microphone source.
Yeah.
But there's no transmitters. There's no receivers. There's no extra device. It's just that one little thing. It's like $100.
Very cool.
So what Naz never told me is that everyone that she has ever funded has never actually come through and produced anything. And so my fears are now that my random spending that I already committed to buying a couple of these things is going to go all for naught because the device isn't going to be made. But we shall see.
Oh.
It is very, very cool. That was my random spending that I did.
Bitten says he mostly random spent on clothes and music this week. He sold an I guess it's an iMac, not an eMac, G4 that he doesn't use anymore to build Debian packages. Or he used it to build Debian packages, but he got an iBook G3 from a friend for that, and a new Linksys router, which is better than the crappy D-Link that he had from his provider, and he has a Raspberry Pi 2. Tim Barrett says, nice random spending, 1200 milliamp dual USB battery pack with flashlight and digital display.
Wow.
Reliant Kitten, no random spending. They're building, or they're buying a house, so she's been cut off.
Nice.
Let's see. Oh, Bitten actually says no. It's actually an eMac. Okay, my bad. It is an eMac. I wasn't aware what an eMac was. I am in the midst of random spending, something that I have been putting off and talking about on the show.
Are you finally going to get that?
Everything all is all set. I just need to go down and pick it up. Couldn't do it yesterday. The traffic was just an absolute nightmare. It was black in the traffic monitoring, which basically means standing still most of the day. Getting all of the gear to get a new PC built.
Yeah.
So I picked up the i5-4690K, which is a overclockable processor, Z97 motherboard. I believe it's an Asus, along with, an NVIDIA, I forget the model number of the graphics card. It's not the most highest end of graphics cards, but I don't really need all of them. Audio guys now, personally. Just
is
because
he stuck outside?
Just because Beckman says, oh, he can't get in.
He can't get in. You have to
let him in. And then the debate a fortnight ago was over the case and the size of the motherboard.
Yeah.
It was MATX or the micro MTX versus the mini ITX. I've decided to go with the ATX. I've got a smaller ATX case, and it comes down to this. I wanted a space for a Blu-ray/DVD burner drive. Because I still burn CDs as backup for DJing.
Really?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because if I go somewhere in the USB...
I've got like a stack
of
CDs and DVDs that are like, you know, one of those towers.
Yeah, I use them for backup of...
They're sunburnt in my office. Well, like, they've been exposed
to the sun. That's because you put them in the sun.
I didn't know they're dangerous in the sun.
But, so I want the drive. And the thought was, well, I could just get an external one.
And plug it in.
Right.
I still have his.
Other
he
than
loaned me, actually, I can
the,
loan you
the issue that I have, and this is why I chose to go away from the mini ITX. All the mini ITX cases, they didn't have a 5 1/4 inch drive bay.
Of course not.
They're all, you know, kind of smaller. Because I need this for it's an aesthetics thing, because I'm already connecting up two external USB sound cards to run the show. I'm already connecting up a bunch of other external devices, and I'm like, if I've got my external hard drives
you're
too, right? Because that's where everything's going to be. Because I'm just using, I'm debating right now. I've got the order is for 120 gig SSD. I think that's plenty because it's just going to be what's running the OS.
Can't you?
But
do you not still have a server in your house, or did you get rid of your server?
There is a server at the house still.
Just
but,
do a UNC access to the.
Well, sure, but when you're doing like production, you need all of your production assets right there and not
Why?
On the network.
It's on the network
because yes, I understand, but VSTs need performance, right? Otherwise, they lag. Right?
Lag's
so they
not
need
important
to be...
with music, is
no,
it?
No, not at all.
Exactly. 128 beats per minute. It's not 127.5.
Or it sounds like... The, but
is, no, the, it,
yeah, exactly.
Audio?
Are you guys joining by conference call?
I think your link servers are acting up, actually.
Can anybody hear me?
No. Who joined the call?
Who joined the call? Can you please mute phone? Oh, wait, we've already had that today.
It's muted, okay?
Nice.
So I'm going to pick it up. Everything all told is about $720 US dollars. That includes that 120 gig SSD along with a 3 terabyte normal SATA drive, which I'm going to put in the enclosure and then attach it via the USB 3. Looking forward to that. And as I said, just a little over 700 USD, and that's before rebates. And I have a good $120 worth of rebates. The price on the processor, the reason why I went with the 4690K, which is the overclockable one, is because currently the sale at this particular retailer, along with my emailed promo code, it's cheaper than the previous generation processor, non-overclockable. So I'm going to pay an extra few dollars to get the motherboard that'll support the overclocking, but... Yeah, and an extra $20 to get a cooler, but you know,
it works.
And I don't know that I'm going to overclock it right away, but it's always a nice option to have, particularly as the lifespan of the
PC
starts to grow.
You should immerse this device inside of oil.
No,
you could for cooling.
Yes, I have. It's not going to run that hot.
That's cool.
Yes, it is.
I've always wanted to make one of those submerged devices from a cooling perspective.
Scott asks, how much is the $700 in Canadian Tire money? I'm not sure. I'm going to have to look up that. We'll post it later.
It is at par with the Canadian dollar once you get it.
Yeah.
It's sort of it's like the poor man's version of the cash back of Chase credit cards or something like that they have.
Bitten says, I like Noctua coolers for a CPU. Yes, I do love them as well. However, Nacho cheese does cool a processor pretty well,
like,
actually.
Have some queso pumped through the
It's very difficult for us to get those here without going through online e-tailers. And I am looking to get all of the parts purchased today so I can build it before I leave.
Oh, so you're...
I'm going to be up all night.
You have a meeting this afternoon is what you're saying.
Yes.
You have a meeting.
A meeting. Offsite, yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Offsite. I have an offsite.
Better.
Yes.
Even
absolutely.
Better.
So, that's my random spending. Any random spending in your world?
Just that Indiegogo.
Yeah.
Honestly.
May or may not make it.
And I still am thinking about, I'm actually thinking about getting a external USB display.
Yeah. I heard you talking about this. Yeah. I'm not sure I need it.
It's never because a need, it's a want.
Well, I understand, but see, I'm still on this kick of paring down as much crap as I can when I travel.
Yeah, but anyway, the one I'm looking at right now is a beautiful Asus one that actually matches this design exactly. 16-inch and full HD as well, and it runs through USB 3, and it has an integrated DisplayPort USB adapter built into it. So basically, you plug in USB 3 into the side of your Surface, and then you have a beautiful metal-clad, brushed aluminum-looking 16-inch display.
So you're going to carry a monitor with you?
With me inside of my bag to go along with the Surface. Because if you see my bag over here, because you can see this if you're watching.
That's right, but there's video, isn't there?
You know, there is, eh? So I have this, which is my one. So that's where the monitor would go in there, and then my Surface goes in this one.
Oh, nice.
So that gives me my dual display without having to worry about it. So it's just really annoying when I'm presenting or if I'm out on the road or something like that, and I'm trying to do work, and I'm just restricted to one screen only. I need my two screens.
Energized Tech says, just plug it into the 42-inch TV in the hotel.
Yeah, it's just...
They don't look kindly on you taking TVs out of the hotel.
No, I tried to remove mine recently to bring it to the Moscone Convention Center.
Yeah.
And didn't... They didn't like that.
Yeah, particularly in San Francisco, they're not going to like that. Yeah.
Didn't like that at all.
Let's see. We've done... we haven't done beer talk yet.
Have we done any beer talk recently?
We haven't done any beer talk. We should talk beer. Do we have any beer talk to talk? Oh, yes, we do.
For me, I had a bit of an accident.
Shocker.
So I don't know if I remember if we talked about this in the last show. I was cleaning up the ice from my kegerator.
Yeah, we talked about it in the last show.
And I punctured the cooling line and emptied the magic gas that keeps everything cold. And so that is currently waiting to be picked up by the appliance recycling guy.
Still in the front yard?
The HOA sent me a letter already saying get it out of the yard. So I moved it out of the yard last night because the guy didn't come to pick it up yesterday.
Oh.
So I now got three refrigerators inside my garage waiting to be picked up. But that's another story. But I went camping this past weekend with the boy child, my son. And it's been extremely hot in Seattle with no chance of rain. They've got burn bans all over the place. And it's just very, very hot and very, very dry because the drought situation is not going on here. And so it's like 32 degrees, 30 degrees, 35 degrees. For the Americans, I guess that's around 100 and change. For those of you who don't know Celsius.
Yeah. It's been about 33 here, so
it's crazy. So the new kegerator that I bought off my friend that moved, which is a beautiful, nice gold red kegerator with four taps.
Yeah, fire engine red.
He's never had all four taps in use before. So I actually have all four taps in use, and I discovered that there was a bit of a leak, and I thought it was due to user error for how the beer line goes on, and I fixed it. And then I left for the weekend, and then I come back to find 4 gallons of sweet coffee stout had leaked out of the refrigerator, rolled down the inclined floor underneath all of my wood that I have stored there for my woodworking project. So the wood is ruined.
Oh.
And it had been baking in 32-degree heat for 3 days, 4 days.
Oh, and because that has lactose in
it, extra sugar and everything else, and liquid. It turned into a syrup, basically. So I spent the better part of 3 hours cleaning out the garage to be able to move the workbench that it flowed underneath, which is this ginormous workbench that I do woodworking on. Pulled that out 6 feet to be able to get access to where the spill was to get all the wood out, and then have to use a high pressure power washer to wash my floor to get rid of all the beer. So that was my beer money or beer talk example of stuff that needs to be fixed. And then I cleaned it all up, and then I put the beer back on again. It's all good, looking great. I checked the next morning, and it had leaked again. Because that's when I determined it was actually the connector that was wrong, not the user application.
So is it the connector that's attached to the fridge, or is it...
The connector that attaches from the fridge into the keg for beer.
So you need to buy a new connector?
I have 5 of them just sitting around, so I just unscrewed that one, threw it out, stomped on it a couple times, and then hit it with a sledgehammer, grabbed a new one, put it on, snapped it in place, and did my leak check. It's all fine. 24 hours later,
I was going to make sure that you put the one that was new, not the one you stomped on. Okay.
So it's now correctly attached. It's all there. It's been tested. 24 hours later, there's still no leak. Therefore, it is good.
Oh, excellent.
So I think that was a little thank you gift from Chuck. Because he would be the guy.
You want to buy the fridge? Here, I'm going to sabotage you.
Have it. So that was my beer escapades of late. So I'm down 1 5-gallon keg of the beer, which was pretty good.
Yeah, but you weren't 100% happy with it.
No, that just comes down when we've made the beer. We just recently, this last batch, changed over to a lower temperature for mashing.
Yes,
which should make it so that the sugars are able to be digested more completely than they were in the past. Because we are having a spat of beer that had been higher in the sugar levels and lower on the alcohol levels, and have a sweet residual taste. So we're trying to clean that up. Unfortunately, we won't have the ability to test that new theory for a little while longer because the beer that we just recently made is a lager, and it takes 8 weeks to lager. So it's about to go into lagering stages probably this weekend.
Tim Barrett says you had a PepCac issue problem exist between carbs and keg.
That works. Yeah, that works.
I've been...
Negligent, man. You haven't done any beer stuff.
I haven't been doing, no.
What I want to know, because I have, you know, 2 members of Beer Team 6 here in the room.
Yes.
When the heck are you guys going to get freaking kegs and kegerators? Like, you both have man caves. Why don't you have one yet? Like, I cannot drink 45 gallons of beer.
Been building a new PC.
I have a small condo.
You can get a small...
I would fill the condo with a kegerator.
So you get a small kegerator.
Yeah, one of those college fridge ones. Which is actually what I'm looking at. And I have been searching the Craigslist here.
Oh, yeah.
But for some reason, I guess it's because of summer, they are going at a premium.
Yeah.
Like just shy of brand new price.
Yep.
And I'm like, that's
not worth
for something that some dude made in his garage. Yeah. It just doesn't make sense.
I've actually been considering replacing the refrigerator in my kitchen.
Yeah.
And potentially converting the current kitchen fridge into a kegerator.
That works. That works if you have space for the two fridges side by side. And it can still work for other things too, right? Is your is your kitchen large enough for two fridges?
Not really.
So what would you do, put it in your bedroom? That could be dangerous.
I could. Yeah.
You got your Xbox, you got the bed, you've got your TV, and then you got a kegerator right next to you. You just have an extension hose. Just we have lost the audio engineer. We don't know where he went. So we haven't seen him for the last 2 months.
It's kind of like, you know, the old book Microsurfs, right, where they talk about they'd only eat things that you could slide under the door.
That could work.
It's like, where is he? I don't know.
Tim Barrett in the chat room just actually mentioned, you should do a Brewing for Dummies podcast.
Oh.
I'd attend.
Yeah, and Reliant Kitten does kind of the carrot sign, meaning I guess that's a plus one that she would. I don't know.
I'm not up on this leet speak stuff.
I don't know either. We could do that. We could do an episode of just record it, right? We wouldn't do it live.
We did the beer talk.
Well, I guess we should. If we're going to do one, though, we should do it live because then we could get the chat room interaction.
Oh, yeah.
And we could invite some of our other friends. We've got several friends that brew beer.
Mm-hmm.
Bender brews beer. A bunch of other folks brew beer.
Yeah.
And, you know, we could just have a segment. I don't know. We'll have to look into that. We'll check.
We'll make a note.
Yes, we're taking a note.
Make a note, would you?
Okay.
Open up Notepad. Make a note.
Yes.
Man.
We've got 4 minutes left, so it's time to name the show. We're going to name next week's episode by giving us a...
Not next week's.
Sorry.
Fortnite.
The next episode.
Hang on.
Both quickly pulling up the calendar in the bottom right-hand corner.
The 17th.
17th of July.
So I will actually be here because I fly back from WPC on the 16th.
17th? Oh, yeah.
So I will actually be here. I may be jet lagged. I may not know what time zone I'm in, but I will be here.
The week after, yes. I'm hosting a party at my house.
Yes, I'm actually gone. I'm actually going to be in Orlando again.
That's crazy, man. The 25th, I have a whole bunch of technical evangelists from around the world are going to be descending upon the Beer Team 6 brewery to be able to make beer. I don't know what kind of beer we're going to make, but we're going to make some beer.
All right. Kyle Beckman says we're going to use the word Kelvin. Tim Barrett says we're going to use the word leak. And Energized Tech says we're going to use the word keg.
Kelvin, leak, keg. So it is named.
Sorry, Frederick. I didn't. I just saw that you'd thrown in heat, but that's okay. Kelvin, leak, keg. That works. So we've officially named next week's show, and there's still 3 minutes left. So we can talk about other things randomly. Until the band sets up.
We could also have just like a minute of awkward silence, too.
I think that's most of the show, isn't it?
Or people just walking out in the middle of it.
Yeah, it could be. That work, too.
Yes.
How about a PSA, public service announcement?
Yes, do a PSA, by all means.
Public service mountain. This is a public service announcement for the benefit of anyone that is still running Windows Server 2003. The end of life of Windows Server 2003 is happening on July the 14th.
That is correct.
From that point forward, no longer any patches, any updates, or anything to do with Windows Server 2003 available from Microsoft unless you have a prearranged advanced support agreement with Premier Field Services.
And that's more than $1.380, just saying.
That's to the tunes of multiples and multiples of $1.380s. And I'd be surprised that there are a number of people that still have 2003 out there.
There is.
Plenty of resources. If you go to Microsoft.com/Windows Server for the product page, you will see that there is a 2003 listed there, and you can see migration and other information. I think we know a couple of people that have done some sessions at various different tech eds talking about migration of your environments from 2003 to other ones. Maybe in this room, perhaps.
Maybe.
Maybe even from other countries as well, from Australia and Canada.
Maybe.
Great resources that are out there. Please, folks, don't let friends use 2003.
Friends, don't let friends use unpatched software.
Correct.
Yeah, absolutely.
And just people are bringing up the U.S. Navy reference that's on there. That's actually for Windows XP. They have an advanced support agreement.
That is correct.
I'm using the wrong term. I hope there's no Microsoft LCA listening to this. if there are Microsoft LCA, please don't get mad at me for using the wrong term.
That's why the band is playing.
Okay. They're playing us out already.
They're playing you out. All right, so that does it again for another episode of the Patch and Switch Show. We're going to see you in a fortnight's time, July the 17th. Thank you to Bitten, Tim Barrett, Reliant Kitten, Kyle Beckman, Claudia Perez, Energized Tech, Frederick, Scott, Sean Lowe, Desired by Life, and Phil Erb for joining us. It's not a show without all of you guys. So thank you very much. We will see you in a fortnight's time. Until then, have a weekend, everybody.